the hottest, the driest, the lowest. A desert of spring sand dunes, snow-capped mountains, multicolored rock layers, and water-fluid canyons that covers a 3 million acres of stone wilderness. Nothing but wilderness. It's a home of plants and the animals that can survive in that kind of place. It's a place of legend and a place of pride. It is a place that not many of us this morning would decide to take a vacation back of an unpopulated country of desert and rocky ridges. 130 miles long and 12 miles wide. And temperatures that reach 130 degrees every single day. It's not a place that I want to go for relaxing and rest. It's not a place that you would want to go to as well. It is Death Valley, California. A place with funeral mountains, coughing pits, Hell's Gate, Starvation Canyon, and Dead Man Pass. Back in 1849, Lewis Manley and his partner by the name of John Rogers crossed Death Valley to bring back supplies to a group of folks who had stranded there, who thought they could make it across the desert and discovered they couldn't. It's a scene of death and desolation. But years and years earlier, there was a prophet by the name of Ezekiel who saw a place that was just as bleak. It was a place that was just as discouraging as Death Valley, California. He saw a vision. It was more desolate, it was more fearsome, and it was more awesome than Death Valley, California. And when you look at verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37, it says very simply that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit carried him down into the valley. Some of you are in a valley spirit. And I'm sad to say and report today that some of you have been in the valley spiritually for years and years and years. You know that Christ lives in your heart? That's a settled issue. But you're in a spiritual valley. And that's the reason there is no joy in your heart for serving Jesus. To remind you that in the valley is where a lot of folks are. And when the Spirit of God transported Ezekiel into the valley, he discovered some things that are found in the valley. He was taken from his own home in a state of spiritual ecstasy into a valley. I want to see today, are we on the mountaintop with God, or are we down in the valley? And guess what? If we're down in the valley, most of the time, it's nobody's fault but ours. Now, how prone we are to say it's everybody else's fault. No. Listen, if you're in the valley, spiritually, it is your fault. And Ezekiel went down in that valley because the Spirit of God led him down into that valley. Listen very carefully this morning. I want us to discover what is found in the valley. I discover, first of all, there is a problem in the valley. As Ezekiel was placed in that valley, he discovered there were some problems there. If you look at this, it says that he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Did you notice that? Bones. Bones, bones, bones everywhere. There was no evidence of life whatsoever in that valley. Now, how did those bones get back? People had to go back. And so people had went down in the valley, and they stayed in the valley, and they died there. If you stay in the valley, bless God, it is your fault. Amen. If our church stays in the valley, it is our fault. It is not
into the valley. I know that troubles are going to come, and problems are going to come, and trials are going to come, and temptations are going to come. But just like we sung about, He will see us through. So why not stay on the mountain as long as we can?
How long were they there? Before they lost their lives? I don't know. But there's problems in the valley. You say, why are they? Well, depression. You choose to stay in the valley spiritually, get ready, depression will set in. Never trying to get to the mountaintop, happy to stay where you are, you will become depressed. That's the reason that the average church member today is so depressed, is because they're in the valley. If God doesn't want you to stay in that valley, and you decide to stay in that valley, then it's your fault. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me, we have no reason to be depressed this morning. We have a great big old God who is taking care of us.
Amen.
We have no reason to be depressed this morning, for God is still alive and doing good things.
Amen.
And guess what? There's no need to be depressed this morning. God doesn't need my approval, nor does God need your approval to do what God wants to do.
Amen.
There's depression in the matter. When Ezekiel always saw was death. You deal with death every day and see what it does to you. Some of you are just not happy about anything that God does. Guess what? Your heart is beating inside. Thank God. You've got clothes on your back. Thank God. You've got a little bit of money in your pocket. Thank God. You've got food to eat. Thank God. The people that ought not be depressed are God's people. The second thing comes is defeat. If you stay in the valley, defeat will take over. You'll suffer defeat after defeat after defeat. And guess what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to live a life of defeat. He whispers and said, the Lord didn't care about you, or you wouldn't be in the place. The Lord don't love you, or you wouldn't be in the valley. And He'll cause you to think you are defeated. Can I remind you, church, we are not defeated. Read the end of the book and you'll discover, thank God, we have already won. Down in the valley, depression comes. Down in the valley, defeat comes. Down in the valley, death comes. It comes spiritually to those who stay in the valley. Ezekiel said everywhere he looked, there were bones and more bones and more bones and more bones. No life to be found. As I have the privilege to stand on this platform, I look out across the congregation every service, and I look at some folks who absolutely have no life whatsoever. I look at some folks that have no joy and no excitement whatsoever. It doesn't matter what we sing. It doesn't matter who leads the music. It doesn't matter who plays the instrument. It doesn't matter what the choir sings. It just doesn't matter. I looked at some folks who have no life whatsoever. And sometimes the building just looks like a bunch of dry bones. Listen. You've never lifted a finger? You have never shed a tear. You have never sung a song. You'll stand with your arms folded. You'll never sing a song. And when you do, it's half-heartedly. And you'll never clap. Bless God, no. You won't ever clap. And so you just sit here like a dead corpse sitting in our sanctuary. You know something? A church full of bones. If you've been saved by the wonderful grace of God and you have life inside of you because of Jesus, every so often you want to get a little bit excited.
Amen.
I'm not talking about running down the aisles, and I'm not talking about having a holy fit, and I'm not talking about
with songs and even with dance. And you know something? I got enough troubles already. Let me break dance up here and see what happens. Preacher got loosey danced in our building, all our platform. Can I tell you something? According to the Bible, in the book of Psalms, when the Spirit of God hit those folks, they worship God with everything there is about Him. Church full of bones. Are we dead, church? Are we dead? Death comes when we're in the valley. Bones! Bones! Bones everywhere. Let me define the kind of bones are found in our church. Listen, there's the lazy bones. That's the crowd that we got who do nothing in the church. They come occupy a pew. They give no financial support to the church. And yet they're the ones who run their mouth the most when the money is spent.
Amen.
That's the lazy bones. Then there's the jawbones. Those are the folks who have self-appointed themselves on a phone ministry. And it's called gospel. They can't wait till the church is over, so they call their neighbor, and their neighbor calls their neighbor, and their neighbor calls their neighbor, and before it gets around, everything is blown out of proportion. The church is full of jawbones. And they sit in judgment in a pew as the Word of God is being preached with the arms folded if they're not passing notes and way on their phones. Guess what? They're a bunch of jawbones who don't know what they're talking about.
Amen.
That's lazy bones. Jawbones. Wish bones. This is the crowd saying, I wish they'd do it this way. I wish they'd do it that way. Why don't they do it this way? Why don't Tim do this? Why don't the preacher do this? And we come to you and ask for your help. You say, oh, no, 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 I can't do that. If you're going to wish it upon us, help us do what you wish us to do. Wish for us. That's the ones that love to do all the planning and then absolutely do nothing to fulfill what you plan. We can fill our calendars full, church. We can fill it full. But just because it's on a piece of paper doesn't mean that we're good.
Yeah.
Church is full of bones. And then there's the skull bones. This is the hard-headed, stubborn folks who's been in charge for years and don't like it when they're no longer in charge.
Amen. Come on, brother.
They didn't resist anything. Except I'd say, well, I remember when our church used to do this. I remember when our church used to do that. I wish we'd go back to those days. Church, let me tell you something. We can't go back to former days.
Yeah.
We can't. The only thing in the church that should never, ever change is the infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Music changes. Yeah. Testimony changes. Literature changes. I've got news for you. We're in a changing world. And more technology we put in the church, the greater church we will be. And guess what? You can kick and scream and holler. We don't need all you want to. And we'll be sitting by the wayside while God uses all these other churches to reach people for Him.
Amen.
Stubbornness. By the way, people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. If the church is going to grow, we've got to get out of the comfort zone. We've got to get out of this thing where it's me and my four no more. We've got to get out of this comfort zone. And for the skullbones, according to the Bible, there is not but one person who should be in charge of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not in charge. No way. Don't want to be. The deacons are not in charge. Should not want to be. No, no, no. We work as a team to fulfill what God wants us to fulfill. And if the church doesn't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't need to be here. And bless God, you don't need to be here.
Amen.
Move out. Get your own crowd. Form your social club somewhere. And sit around and play games with God. It's not a social club. It's an organism that has the life of the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us.
Amen. Amen.
then there's the knuckleballs. That's the knuckleheads that want to tear everybody else down and they're God's gift to creation. That's the crowd that the preacher can't satisfy no matter what.
Amen.
That's the crowd that the music man can't satisfy no matter what. That's the crowd that if Jesus Christ came in here this morning, you'd find something wrong with Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Can I tell you something? Listen. When Jesus saved me, He didn't make me perfect. And when Jesus saved you, He didn't make you perfect. But I want to tell you something. Along the way, I may have slipped and fallen, but I just guarantee you one thing. Christ offers forgiveness, whether a handful or a crowd like it or not, Jesus still forgives.
Knuckleballs.
They think they're all of that bag of chips to boot. You're nothing but a sinner saved by God's wonderful grace. I don't care if you've been in this church 60 years or 2 days. You're a sinner saved by God's grace, and you have just as much right as somebody who's sat in this church for 60 years.
Amen.
If we did not have so many knuckleballs and jaws, there's no telling how many more folks would come to know Christ while we sit down and tear each other down while people are going to hell. It's not about, listen, I'm a failure. I'll admit that. But my God's not a failure.
Amen.
But I'll admit that I'm a failure. How about some of you admitting that you fell along the journey too?
All right. All right.
It's knuckleballs. Well, this is the warning bubbles. This is the people who said, I've done all my part. I've worked for years. I'm so tired. It's time for somebody else to do my job. And we understand that. We say, okay, that's good. But then you're the first one when the nominating committee replaces you on that job. You say, I can't believe that. They put somebody where I had served for years. If you want to serve, serve. If you don't want to serve, back out and be quiet.
Amen.
Church is full of bones. Everywhere I look is bones. Bones, 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 and more bones. And how in God's name will we ever do what God wants us to be until we take care of the bones that's in the church?
Amen. That's right.
And then there's the hip bone. Ask some of you that got the money on the hip, and guess where it's going to stay? On your hip. There's some folks who can help us financially. There's some folks who can help us do some things mission-wise. There's some of you that could do a lot of things financially because God's blessed you with finances, and yet you're going to hoard it up and let the church go without it.
Right.
Guess what's going to happen? When you're dead and gone, somebody's going to fight over what you left down here when you couldn't use it for God's glory while you're here.
Amen.
That's like people who say, preacher, when I die, you want to worry about it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. There'll be enough money left. I'm willing to church a bunch of money. And like I told a person in one of my churches, why don't you give the money while you're living so you can see how God uses it to bless people? There's all kinds of bones. You fit into the bone category somewhere. And here's what we need. Here's what we need. The last bone to ever be found in the church is those with backbones. Those who will stand up and suffer. What we need is an old-fashioned Holy Ghost God-sent meeting in the life of that church. We don't need all this other junk. All we need is for God to show up again, and God to bless us, and God to heal our hurts, and God to make us love one another, and God to make us forget about all the junk, and just be the church that God wants us to be. Born again, spirit filled, blood washed, going to heaven when I die. Aren't you glad that Jesus made a way when we couldn't make a way?
Amen.
That's the crowd that doesn't complain, gripe, and grumble, and murmur, fuss, and holler all the time. That's the crowd that says, people's going to be people. But Jesus loved them. And we should too.
Amen. Right.
Not worry about rules and regulations. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations. Church is about our redeemer.
Amen.
But you cannot have a backbone if you're dead spiritually and you've been in the valley for years. Problems in the valley, depression, defeat, death, dryness. They were very dry. He said, I looked, there were very many in the open valley, and they were so dry. You know why some of you are so dry? Because you're dead spiritually. Some folks don't like all the shouting. Some folks don't like all the hand clapping. Some folks don't like all the hand raising. Some folks don't like for anybody to yell above a whisper. They don't like for anything to get out of hand. I'm going to tell you something. Our church does not compare to getting out of hand. You want to talk about a place that gets out of hand? Heaven will get out of hand. Heaven's going to get out of hand. There won't be no jawbones running in heaven. There won't be no knuckle bones running in heaven. Guess what? There won't be but one man in charge. It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you can do everything you want to and uproot him and upseat him from his throne. But your failures, your attempts will be in vain. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Was a handful of Baptist folk like it or not?
Amen.
Lord. That's right. Some of you stopped praying a long time ago except when you have a problem. Some of you stopped reading your Bible a long time ago. Some of you, Sunday services, Sunday morning services, the only thing that matters in your life. We drop by ever so often on Sunday morning to make sure everything's still running according to the way we think it ought to run. You don't come to Sunday school because you don't want to grow no more in the Lord. If you don't want to grow no more in the Lord, you'll never be no more for God than you are right now. Just dry. Anything spiritual, you could care less. But it's one other thing that's found in the valley. Verse 3. Here's what he said. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, all you know. You know what else is found in the valley? Depression, defeat, death, and dryness. But they're dismayed. The Lord asked Ezekiel. Ezekiel, look out over this place. Look at all these dead folks. Look at all these bones. They've been here for years. Do you think these bones can live again? And Ezekiel was smart. He said, Lord, I don't know. But you can.
Amen.
Ezekiel had said, no, Lord, they'll never live again. You know what he had been doing? Doubting the power of his God.
Right.
And he said, I don't know. The valley brings depression. Are you there? Brings defeat. Do you feel like lust to use? Brings death. Do you feel like you don't have any joy in the Lord? Brings dryness. Brings dismay. That's the good news. That's the problem in the valley. Let me end very quickly by showing you the power in the valley. Look at verse 24. There's still power in the valley. Let me remind y'all of something. And it's simply this. Whether you think so or not, God is still here.
Amen.
Lord. God's still here. And his power was revealed in Ezekiel. Here's what he said to do. He said, by the preaching of a message. Again, he said unto me, prophesy, preach unto these bonds. God said, Ezekiel, I want you to preach. Can you imagine what Ezekiel must have thought? Paul, have you flipped? If I start preaching in this valley, nobody here but me and all these bonds, pretty soon, the men in the white coats are going to come get me. Surely you don't want me to preach to this crowd. He said, preach. And here's what he said. Bones! Bones! Hear ye the word of the Lord. He didn't have to preach a three-point sermon. Guess what? When he says, hear the word of the Lord, that's enough saying. City Grove, guess what? Stop listening to man's word and let's all stop and hear the word of God.
Amen.
God said something totally different than what man said. He said, just preach, preach, preach the message of Christ. It doesn't matter how dead, how dry, the Lord has come to give life.
Amen.
By the preaching of the message. Look at verse 5. Thus said the Lord God on these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 6. See what he said? Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh among you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Sure enough, he began to preach to this crowd. Look at verse 7. He began to preach. So I preached, prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
Amen.
Now let me ask you something. If there's a pile of bones in that place, who but God would know what bone goes to what bone? Old Fred didn't get Joe's bone, and Joe didn't get Fred's bone. You know why? God had created them to start with, and he knew what the bones looked like.
Amen.
There was a reconnect.
Ezekiel connected them. Thy bones, Ezekiel, connected them. Thy bones, Ezekiel, connected them. Thy bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel, connected them. Thy bones, Ezekiel, connected them. Thy bones, Ezekiel, connected them. Thy bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Lord, every toe bone connected to you. Foot bone, foot bone connected to you.
You know it's safe, foot bone room.
The heel bone connected to you. Ankle bone. Ankle bone connected to you. Leg bone, your leg bone connected to you. Knee bone.
God's doing it. God's doing it.
Thigh bone connected to you. Hip bone, your hip bone connected to you. Back bone, your back bone connected to you. Shoulder bone, your shoulder bone connected to you. Neck bone, your neck bone connected to you. Hip bone, now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. And hear the word of the Lord. Disconnect them bones, them dry bones. Disconnect them bones, them dry bones. Disconnect them bones, them dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord.
So that says what happened. Bones came together because God brought life, reconnected, and recooked. Bodies that looked like we did, but there was still a problem. Look at verse 8. Here's what it said. They covered the flesh, skin came on, covered the body. But listen, there was a problem. There was no breath in them. We can have bones with no life.
That's right. Amen.
And here's what Ezekiel said. God said, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, preach to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may breathe. This is verse 2. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and exceedingly great army. Bones can live again.
Amen.
Life can come to us again. And guess what? Instead of an army against each other, don't you want to become an exceedingly great army for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen. Amen.